Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. Joining me now from Grand Rapids, Michigan, we've got Terry Hoogerhide, Teamsters Local 406, Work in Progress Radio. Welcome back, Terry.
Hey, Charles, how you doing?
Very good. Very good indeed. You're out and about working the organizing drive. How's that going?
It is going excellent right now. I have five organizers from across the country here right now helping me with this drive, as well as tomorrow we have 25 rank-and-file members from all across the country coming in to do union-to-non-union, worker-to-worker talks. This is a new idea put together by our IBT organizing department, and it's working fantastic. You can never have enough help when you're organizing.
Right, right. And organizing, the questions are never the same. They're often similar, but they're never exactly the same, that's for sure. Everybody's got their own little nuances on what their concerns are, what they're interested in finding out, and you got to be able to think on your feet and talk on your feet and make sure that people get the information that they need. Terry, now this worker to worker plan that the IBT's got, talk to us about that. I mean, have these members been specifically trained to go out and do organizing, or is it rank and file members that volunteered and said, we want to go help our future brothers and sisters?
It is rank and file members coming out of the same division. What we're doing is we have 160 unit up here in Grand Rapids, Cisco Foods, and we are bringing in 25 Cisco Food regular employees, truck drivers, and warehouse members to come up here and talk to these people about the benefits of belonging to a union. So it's a fantastic idea. I can talk to them till I'm blue in the face, but this is people out of their own industry working for the same company that can tell them the benefits of belonging to the union right from the horse's mouth.
Absolutely. Now, Terry, how large of a unit is this across the United States with Cisco?
This is a huge unit. I'm thinking that there's got to be somewhere around 60,000 employees across the nation that work for Cisco itself. And they are a company that is all about themselves and nothing for the employee. Some of the employees up here in Grand Rapids in the last 4 or 5 years have taken anywhere from $8,000 to $12,000 pay cuts a year. And they have no recourse on fighting back except to join together, band together, join the union, and have a voice in the workplace. 10 years ago, we tried this, and it failed. And it failed because they were taking care of the people at that time. But now they really don't care. And it really shows in their overall attitude. The president that's running this division here in Grand Rapids does not like me whatsoever. And that's unfortunate because I've never met the man before. And I think you should give me a chance.
I think he should give you a chance, too.
Yes, yes. I will be more than happy to be sitting on the other side of the negotiating table and smiling at him. And then at that time, him and I can introduce ourselves to each other.
Right. I mean, because after all, the only thing you're trying to do is help his employees.
Yes. Yes. You know, and for that, I'm being ostracized by him. I am the spawn of Satan. his big mantra is the union is trying to divide us up. And I've told everybody on our organizing committee, as well as everybody that's out there working this campaign, whether the person is for this or against it, I want you to talk to them. We are not about divide. We are about uniting.
Well, Terry, here's my question. You know, if this regional or division president doesn't quite understand what the Teamsters are all about, can you offer him membership? Can you bring him in? Can you make sure that, you know, he gets a fair day's pay for a fair day's work? Can you make sure that, you know, he's not going to experience wage theft, that kind of thing?
You know, I would like to believe it, but they're perfectly happy thefting away at their employees, unfortunately. Like I said, they've lost so much that it is actually scary. And they can see the handwriting on the wall that if they don't stand up now, they're going to lose everything. They have a lumber service out there. And the lumber service has been doing more and more work that used to be Cisco employee work. And through the process, the guys that work on second shift have now been on second shift for over 20 years because there's no jobs available on days because I have the lumpers doing all the work. And everybody's just shaking their head. And it's finally gone off, a little bell's gone off in their head that said, we need to change this, and the way to change it is to become Teamsters. And I'm extremely proud of the group for standing up.
Well, there you go. So you guys are going to pick up, what, about how many did you say are in the local area?
160.
160 new members in the area, and that's a wonderful thing. Now, again, this organizing drive is going on nationally, correct?
Yes, it is a national drive at all the Cisco U.S. foods, and they're going to expand it out to some of the other food groups as well.
And when are the votes going to start taking place?
Actually, the satellite offices, which are a couple hundred miles away from here, which we've been working hard at, their ballots went out in the mail today, as a matter of fact. They're voting by mail. The rest of the people are voting May 7th, right here in Grand Rapids. That's where the majority of them are. And polls open in the morning, and we'll close them at night, count the ballots up, and then maybe I can meet Mr. Schaefer, shake his hands, and say, I'll see you at the negotiating table.
Yeah, well, there you go. It sounds like a wonderful thing all the way around. What kind of feedback are you hearing from other places that this organizing drive is going on?
As far as you, local or nationally?
Nationally.
Nationally, they've been doing, this is the fourth drive already within the past 12 months. They organized Corona, California, Kansas City, and Atlanta, Georgia. And now we're up to Grand Rapids, Michigan, and they're going to keep continuing and continuing and keep the pressure up. You cannot treat your employees this way. The only thing these people want is two key words, respect and dignity. That's what they're looking for.
Right. And, you know, quite honestly, if they had respect and dignity on the job, you'd play heck trying to organize that shop, wouldn't you?
Exactly correct.
Yeah.
I always say it, and I'm the first to admit it. If an employer treats their people with respect and dignity and listens to what they have to say, treats them fairly, there is no reason for a union at that time. Unfortunately, this is one of the companies that does not do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Terry, listen, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back. We'll talk some more. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
I make learning a privilege, not a chore, and frustration a tool, not an obstacle. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Make more. Teach. Visit teach.org. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Whenever a corporation issues a statement declaring that it is committed to, quote, treating consumers fairly and with respect, chances are it's not. After all, if the outfit was actually doing it, there would be no need for a statement. Indeed, this particular claim came from Encore Capital, one of our country's largest buyers of bad consumer debt, and it definitely has not been playing nice with the people it browbeats to collect overdue credit card bills, car loans, etc. New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman found that Encore, based in San Diego, filed nearly 240,000 lawsuits against debtors in a recent four-year period, using our courts as its private collection arm. Problem is, Encore's bulk filing of lawsuits are rife with errors, out-of-date payment data, fabricated credit card statements, etc. Tons of them are missing original loan documents, payment histories, and other proof of debt. Debt predators, however, scoot around this lack of facts by simply having their employees sign affidavits asserting that the level of money owed is accurate. Judges, overwhelmed by the unending flood of lawsuits filed by Encore et al., have accepted those affidavits as true, thus ruling in favor of the corporations. But Schneiderman found that, surprise, affidavits were simply being rubber-stamped by company employees who didn't have time to check for accuracy. An employee of one large debt buyer testified that he was having to sign about 2,000 affidavits a day. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is no minor scam. 1 in 7 adults in the U.S. is under pursuit by debt collectors. It's hard enough for struggling families to claw their way out from under the economic crash without having lying, cheating, predator corporations twist the court system to pick their pockets and shut off their hope of recovery.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Welcome to the Maya Miguel Challenge. Meet Maya and the gang.
Oh, hi, I'm Maya.
Maya and her friends want you to get up and play, because it's always more fun to be active.
Let's get started.
Just go to letsmove.gov and look for Maya and Miguel. You'll find tons of fun activities that'll help keep you healthy and active. Whether you play sports, run, dance, or jump in place, just get up and play at least an hour a day. Take the Maya and Miguel Challenge today at letsmove.gov. A message from the Ad Council and HHS.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Take this time to breathe deeply and close your eyes. Right now, you're completely in control. Unlike the time you and your son played basketball and you attempted to slam dunk. Or when you tried removing those raccoons from the basement. Concentrate on the soothing sound of my voice. Release the memory of when you wrestled with that beehive in your son's treehouse. Let go of the time you thought that skunk was a cat, or when you pulled into the garage with your son's bike on top of the car. Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon, that's for sure. Joining me now from Grand Rapids, Michigan, Teamsters Local 406 and Work in Progress Radio, Terry Hooker. Hi, Terry, welcome back.
Well, thank you very much, Charles. As I always say, it is a privilege to be on the radio with you today.
Yeah, sure. Hey, listen, Terry, you know, this whole organizing drive with Cisco, it's ongoing. You know, hey, you get the union you deserve. And if you don't take care of your troops, somebody else is going to come in and make sure that you do. And that's what the unions do. The unions help the workers organize themselves. They do the work. You know, they set up the organizing committee They get everything set up and run. You, as a union professional, you're a technical rep, so to speak, and you help with you know, getting set up for the vote, getting the first contract set up, and then they have local elections, and the local leadership takes over. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Not only are we going to have three business agents from Local 406 negotiating this contract, we are bringing people in from the IBT as well. There's going to be a great mind trust there, along with the union stewards that are going to be representing the people, sitting at the table all together, and let's get these people a fair contract. That's what this is all about.
You can't beat that with a stick. And, you know, the long and short of it is, when the company says, oh, well, the union's just going to be getting in between us and the workers. No, the union's made up of the local workers.
Yes.
You know,
and that's their mantra right now. Oh, you're going to bring a third party in here. That's not going to be good for you. And I'm thinking, that's good for the employees to have a say in the workplace? What's wrong with this picture?
Yeah,
why do people buy into it?
Terry, that reminds me of, well, you know, if you have a disagreement with another company and you look at the other company and say, well, you know what? You shouldn't bring an attorney to this court case. Really? Why are you bringing an attorney? Why are you effectively representing yourself? You know?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And thank goodness the majority of these people do not believe in the message the company is sending out, because they know it's nothing but propaganda. The proof is in the pudding. Once again, it's the same old message from the company. Give us a year and we'll get everything straightened out. Well, if I give you a year, I'm going to lose more in that year. Why would I wait? And for them to even think the union is just going to sit and wait for a year is wrong, because you and I both know, on an organizing drive, generally you're not back in 12 months because
right.
The people that were for it are going to be gone. They're going to get rid of them. And you're going to be starting over from square one.
Right.
It generally takes anywhere from 5 to 10 years before you make another run.
And, you know, Terry, here's the whole deal. The union comes in a year down the road. The members can take another vote if they're not happy with the union.
Absolutely.
Right?
See? Yes.
So you got a year. You got a year to prove to us why we don't need the union.
Yep.
But in the meantime, sorry.
They're sitting there going, well, the union's made all these promises that they can't keep.
No, they didn't.
I did make them a promise, Charles.
Uh-oh.
I promised them the best representation that they will find from an organized labor place. I said, Teamsters Local 406 is members first, members first, members first. Those are the first three rules. The fourth rule is see the three rules above, because we are all about servicing the members and taking care of them. And part of that is negotiating a good contract for them.
Absolutely. You know, and when it's all said and done, they do better. The community does better because there's more wages that are having taxes paid on them. And, you know, my goodness, I don't know what to tell you other than the fact that I think what it is a lot of these people, a lot of these organizations that fight tooth and nail against a union is they just don't want to be held to what they've promised or held to what they should be doing based in law, based in tradition, and based on what they said they were going to do. And the union helps the employees hold the employer's feet to the fire on that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. because you could be what I call vacuum operated, and down there you do get what you want if you operate that way, unfortunately. But if you're a good employee and you go out and you do your job every day and they just happen to have a little bug up their tail and they don't like you, you're going to get the scraps on the table while everybody else gets what they want, and you have no recourse. But with the union, with the grievance procedure, with everything that's afforded to you for fair representation, you can have a voice in how all this plays out. And that's the important part these people are looking for.
Absolutely. Terry, we got about 2 minutes left. You guys are still working on the food drives going into Detroit, correct?
Actually, they're right around Grand Rapids. We've hooked up with 10 different area-wide churches here, and we are delivering food products to them. And not only their parishioners, but as well as the neighborhood surrounding them. They're very good about getting the word out. Food truck's going to be here. The last food truck we did last week, we helped over 400 people have food on the table. And like I said, that is the best thing that I have been involved with in a long time, because it is about union supporting communities, families, faith, social justice. That is what we are. That's what we stand for. And we got to take every advantage that we have to prove to the people unions are not the enemies. We are your friends.
Right. We're in the community with you. You know, and it's funny because, you know, we talk about this organization and that company doing, you know, things for the community. But when it comes to the largest food drive in the country, that's done by the letter carriers. As a matter of fact, the next one's coming up May 9th, Saturday, May 9th. You leave your non-perishable food products at your mailbox. Your letter carrier drops your mail, picks up the food, schleps it. It's a long day. Until they get back to their truck. And that gets taken to your local community food bank. And quite honestly, Terry, they have collected billions, with a B, pounds of food over the last 20 years. It's the largest food drive in the country.
They do a fantastic job from start to finish on that. I am really impressed at the organization they put together to do that drive. I mean, it's fantastic because, once again, it's helping those out in need. And that's what we have to do as a community nowadays.
Right. And you can use the food drive as an opportunity to leave a small pack of cookies for your letter carrier or something along those lines. I personally know that since we're at Branch 84's world headquarters here in Pittsburgh, that I have a 12-pound can of beans that I'm going to leave on President Bluestone's desk for him to get down to the food bank. But that's another story. So, hey, listen, Terry, we got to get going. We appreciate being with you today. Congratulations on Cisco. You guys are getting it done, and it's a wonderful thing to see. Meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham.
For me, the relationship that I have with labor is a badge of honor. Representing folks, hardworking people who work, who build, who construct, that is one of the privileges of my life.
It may surprise you to learn that that was a Republican U.S. Congressman, Representative Mario Diaz-Balart of Florida. As the North American Building Trades Legislative Conference wrapped up here in Washington, D.C. Tuesday, Building Trades President Sean McGarvey said that for many years, Representative Diaz-Balart has been a stalwart friend and supporter of building trades unions and part of a building trades majority in the U.S. House. The congressman told told the union delegates that he's a supporter of prevailing wage laws and the Davis-Bacon Act. Davis-Bacon, signed into law by President Herbert Hoover in 1931, requires paying local prevailing wages on public works projects. Some states have their own prevailing wage laws. Representative Diaz-Balart says he's helped fight off attacks on Davis-Bacon, and now that he chairs a key subcommittee dealing with the issue, he says it will be tougher than ever for those trying to kill prevailing wages and Davis-Bacon.
Every year, there are challenges to both PLAs and Davis-Bacon. I have always fought with my colleagues to keep the language Davis-Bacon and the PLAs intact. We will have those challenges one more time. This time, however, I am chairman of that subcommittee. If it was hard to get rid of it then, it's going to be harder for them to get rid of it now.
Democratic Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel was the last politician to speak to the building trades delegates Tuesday. Good thing there were no UAW members in the House. Emanuel tried a little humor to kick off his speech, noting that a drawing, a raffle to give away a union-built pickup truck, was happening right after his speech. But he didn't get the model of the pickup truck right.
I want to just say real quickly, I know I stand between a Ford Silverado. So let me give you my 14 points on health care.
Emanuel thanked the building trades unions for their support in his reelection campaign. Other unions, like the Chicago Teachers Union, had opposed him. Emanuel touted the rebuilding of Chicago that he says is part of his opportunity-based progressivism.
If you're going to be growing as an economy, you have to make sure that everybody has a chance to participate. That means investing in your infrastructure, and that means investing in the education of our children so they too have an opportunity. I wanted to build a 21st century economy to put good-paying jobs, people today back to work, building an economy for tomorrow. And let me be clear about one thing. While we're building those mass transit systems, we're building those parks, we're building those schools, we're building those community colleges, we're building those roads, we're building those waterways, it will not be done in a right-to-work city, not in the city of Chicago.
This newscast made possible in part through underwriting support from the United Auto Workers and from the International Association of Machinists. You've been listening to WIND, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.